Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord with my brothers and sisters here in Kearney. The question is before us, has God revealed himself to mankind as a whole? Has God revealed himself to mankind as a whole? To every person that has ever lived? If he has, in what manner has he done so? We often hear the complaint from many that God isn't fair, saying that about those who have never heard the gospel in far away places, who have never heard of the name Jesus. How could they be accountable to God for that? But Scripture says all are without excuse before God, as we'll see today from His Word. God has revealed himself in two important ways. One, or first, through the things that God himself has created. What we call nature. What many call nature. And this revelation about God is general. It's in a general form. But there's a second area God has revealed himself. And this is what we call special revelation. God has done so in His Word, in His very Word, what we have before us, the Scriptures. These are both brought out beautifully in Psalm 19, both general revelation and specific or special revelation. So let's read our text and then open up the Word. It says in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, the entire world, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." Now, verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much refined gold or pure gold, sweeter also than the honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable or pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer."
Amen.
Psalm 19 is a psalm about God's revelation of himself to mankind. It speaks first of God's revelation of himself generally in his created order. And we see this in verses 1 through 6. Then secondly, and even more importantly, God gets specific about his revelation in his word. And we see this in verses 7 through 11. And the psalm closes with the psalmist's response to God's revelation in our last verses, in verses 12 through 14. This psalm opens with a grand proclamation about God's creation. A grand proclamation about God's creation. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. This is a stunning declaration. It's speaking of all that one can see. All that is above us and below us. The things that we see at night, the stars, the planets, the moon, the things we see in the day, the endless blue skies that we see, the clouds that bring relief from the hot sun and the rain that we so need, and of course the sun itself, which supports life upon this earth. The sun warms us, it gives life to us and our planet. The sky above, the psalm opens with, proclaims his handiwork. God's creation give witness to none other than the Creator himself. The grandness of the sky above and all their hosts cry out of their Maker's glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. And as glorious as the heavens above are, and they are glorious, they go on and on. They are witness to the one who created them, being much more glorious than the things created. Now, we usually don't speak about inanimate things speaking. We usually don't say the rock spoke to me, or the chair declared something to me. But here in our text, the heavens and the skies are given voices. They declare God's glory and God's handiwork. Both are in the participle form, which speak of a continuing action, a continuing nature, as brought out in the NAS version. It says the heavens are declaring. It keeps going on. It's declaring God's glory. They do so continually. The sky above is continually proclaiming his handiwork. It's not a one-time action, but a continuing. It goes on from the moment God created them, these things, until the very end when Jesus returns. And then verses 2 through 4 build on this grand proclamation that we see in verse 1. That's laid, the foundation that's laid in verse 1. It says, day to day pours out speech. Again, we see inanimate things speaking. And night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Thank God for water. The words in the original are even stronger than we see in our English words that we see in verse 2. Pours out literally means it gushes forth. It gushes forth like an overflowing spring. Day to day and night to night expresses the continuity of God's creation and his revelation of himself. It goes on and it goes on continually. There is no part of the world's people, whatever their language is, that doesn't hear the voice of the heavens declaring and proclaiming God's glory. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voices go out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Brethren, no one has ever escaped the revelation of God in his creation. No one has ever escaped the revelation of God in his creation. The revelation of God is all pervasive and available to all of humanity. In these verses, we see the universal guilt of all humans before God. Revelation of his creation leaves all men guilty before God. None can say God hasn't revealed himself to us. None can do that. Now, the question is, what has mankind done as they witness this glory about God and who he is. What has man done with this proclamation that we see in verses 1 through 4? What they've done is, instead of worshiping the God who created all these things, they suppress him. They suppress God. Please open up to Romans 1 for a second. Romans 1 brings out this crystal clear. All humanity, by God's general revelation, are accountable before him. For none have turned to him, as Paul says in Romans 1, starting in verse 18. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them." What may be known about God is plain to them. Because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. We can see this throughout history, to our time even today. Men are looking, not that science is bad, men are looking to science for an answer to these things they see, believing there is a natural answer to everything apart from God. Others worship the created things themselves. They worship the earth or the objects above. They worship the sun. They worship the moon. They worship the planet. They worship creeping things or animals. God says these things speak of the glory, of his glory and of his handiwork. And then verse 4c continues to verse 6, continuing with the metaphoric description of the sun. The psalm opened with a general description of God's work to the specific example of the sun. Let's read again in verse 4c. It says, "In them," that is the heavens and the skies, "he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. And like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat." In the sky above, the Lord has set a place for the sun. Then again uses the metaphor of the sun coming out like a bridegroom and a strong man that runs his course. Now, the bridegroom metaphor may seem odd to us. Why is God using this? But in these times, in these ancient times, a marriage was a communal occasion for all to come out. All would come out. When the bridegroom comes out to meet his bride, the whole town would follow him. It was an occasion that all would see. Or it says, like a strong man running his course, signifying a completion of something. The sun rises from one end of its course, and nothing can escape its heat. So, general revelation reveals God's glory and proclaims his handiwork. It says, no human can escape this revelation of God, and all are accountable. But it is, as the name carries, only general revelation. But did God leave us at this point, just generally? No, God did not leave us to that alone. But praise God, his revelation continues. It goes forth in his word, his written word, in verses 7 through 11. Here we move from God's general revelation about himself to his specific, special revelation of God. And there's a shift here from the general to the specific revelation. We can even see this in the original language of these words proclaimed here. In verses 1 through 6, God's name is El, the most generic name of God, as Elohim, God's name in creation. But in verse 6, that name shifts. We don't see this in our text, but that name shifts to Yahweh, his covenantal name. It's God's personal, intimate name in Scripture. And unlike general revelation and man's refusal to follow the Lord, specific revelation, special revelation, calls men to obey his word. The first verse of the second section, verses 7 through 9, speak of God's word, his special revelation to mankind. And in these verses, verses 7 through 9, we see various names for the word. Follow along, and I'll highlight in my voice each word that is used here. It says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the last, the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The first is law, the law of the Lord, which in the original is the word Torah. The law of the Lord is perfect. Law means much more than we think of when we hear. When we hear law, we first are drawn to the Ten Commandments. It's speaking of the Ten Commandments. The heart of the word, though, means instruction and entails all that God has revealed in his word. An equivalent word would be Scripture. The Scriptures of the Lord, or simply the Word of God. Unlike general revelation in nature, which makes men accountable to know God, it says the law, God's Word, is perfect, reviving the soul. Reviving the soul. His Word is perfect. It covers every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. All the things that we encounter, it's not insufficient in any manner whatsoever. Whatever problem, whatever sin you face, his word is perfect, reviving the soul. Amen? The second word is the testimony of the Lord, which speaks of the truth of God's word given to mankind. His testimony is sure. You can count on it. It's sure. Making wise the simple. Wisdom comes to those, brethren, who follow God's trustworthy word to us. The next two words are the precepts and the commandments of the Lord. Both relate to God's commandments to us, his rule for us, and both call us to obey. They call us to be obedient to his word. Following the Lord's precepts and commandments are right, and they lead to something. It says they lead to the rejoicing of the heart. His commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. And this brings to mind Psalm 119:105, which says, Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. His commandments, brethren, are pure. His word is a lamp to guide each of us along the paths that each of us go on. Amen? And in verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Fear here means to have and assume a right attitude of humility before the Lord. To have a right attitude of humility before the Lord. Devotion and totally depending on Yahweh, the Lord. His word endures. It goes on forever. And we see that in 1 Peter 1:25 also. And then verse 9 ends, for the rules or the ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God's rules are true and altogether righteous. And tying these six descriptions together of God's revelation, we see the revelation of God, that is His word, is perfect and it revives the soul. His word is sure, making us wise, making the simple wise. His word is right, and it brings joy. God's word is pure, lightening our eyes and even our paths. His word is true and altogether righteous. Amen? Amen. Brethren, I ask you this. Do you desire God's word, His special revelation to us?
Yes.
Do you desire God's word, His special revelation to us?
Yes.
Amen, amen. David next speaks about the quality of God's word in special revelation. Verse 10 tells us, God's revelation, His word is, more to be desired are they than gold. More to be desired than they than gold, even refined gold, or the finest gold there can ever be. Sweeter also than the honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. The word of the Lord is to be desired more than the most precious gold that man can make. It's to be sweeter to us than the most refined honey that we could possibly buy. And the source of it is the honeycomb. Brother, sister, is God's word, His written revelation, more precious than pure gold to you? Is His word, His written revelation, more precious to you than pure gold? Is His word sweeter than the most sweetest honey? May we ever grow in our love for His word.
Amen.
And this second section ends in verse 11. It says, moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. By them, that is His word, His revelation of Himself, and because you know they are sure, trustworthy, and right, you also are warned. Warned in a sense, you are not ignorant of God's word. You are not ignorant of God's word. You know what His word says to you. You've heard these things over and over. Things like, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. You know the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. You know with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Mark 10:27. Not only knowing His word, but doing His word. Following His decrees brings great rewards to our lives. Amen?
Amen.
And our last verses in verses 12 through 14 speaks of David's response to God's revelation. Having wondered at God's revelation of the heavens above, the sun's constant path through God's glorious skies, and having rejoiced over God's special revelation in His word, what was David's response to these things? What was his response to these things? David begins with a rhetorical question to himself, of himself. Who can discern his errors? Who can discern his errors? David knows he is full of errors and knows this clearly through God's word. David goes to the heart of his errors, the sins within, and he pleads to God. Declare me innocent. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Those sins either done unintentionally, we do these all the time, sins done unintentionally, or I think more specifically, those sins done in private, or the hidden sins that we all partake in at times. Declare can also be translated here. Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Cleanse me, Lord, from the hidden faults. These are the faults done, as I believe, behind closed doors. And David asks to be cleansed from these sins. David then quickly moves on to those sins done intentionally. And David knew these well. He says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And presumptuous sins in the Hebrew mind was the arrogant sins one does. Arrogant sins. And David may have been thinking of the time that he sent Uriah to his death. And we see this in 2 Samuel 11. David wanted Uriah's wife and sent him to his death so that he can have his wife. David knew for sure what he was doing when he did this and did it anyhow. A sin one does knowing all well what you are doing and does so anyhow. David's praying to the Lord to keep him from these sins. Keep him from these sins. Pleading with the Lord that they do not have dominion, power over him. And David ends his prayer to the Lord with this declaration. Only then, or then, I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Transgression just means sin. God alone, my brother and my sister, my friend here, God alone has the power to take away David's sins, both those done unintentionally or in secretly, and those done openly or intentionally. Friend, what is your reply to God's revelation? What is your reply to God's revelation? Both revelation from his created order, and more specifically, from his word, the Bible. What is your reply to this? Does it make you see the error, your sins, before him? Does it make you see your error and the sins before him? Realize there's only one remedy. There's only one remedy for this, and it's in Christ alone. Amen? Call out to him. Call out to him to save you this very moment. God says if you cry out to him, turning to him alone to save you, and you do so in faith, the Bible says he will save you from your sin and that sin's dominion over you. Please, we ask you, call upon him while you are able. Call upon him. But to those who already know the Lord, I ask you, my brother, my sister, what is your response to Psalm 19? What is your response to God's revelation that we see here in Psalm 19? As David lays out in the Lord's revelation, repentance is not just a one-time occurrence, but our daily petition before God, our daily petition to the Lord. When in the Lord, as you are sanctified, as you are being sanctified more and more, sin you never even noticed in your life or cared about gets magnified before your eyes. Sins are revealed in our lives more and more as we are through sanctification. Or possibly an old sin may rear its ugly head in your life. Happens all the time. Brethren, cry out to him daily to keep you from sin in your life, both old or new, that may pop up before you. Cry out to him to keep cleansing you for his glory alone. Amen?
Amen.
And we look forward to that day when not only we shall be saved from the consequences of sin, but completely from sin in our lives.
Yeah.
On that great day, when the Lord returns, he not only transforms us spiritually, but also transforms our bodies. We look forward to that day. And David ends with a closing prayer to the Lord in verse 14, what we just sang before. May the words of my mouth, the words that's come out, and the meditations of my heart, the deep things, be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What a wonderful way to close out Psalm 19, which speaks of God's revelation generally in creation and specifically in his word. David cries out to the Lord in humility. May the words, the things that flow so freely out of my mouth, be pleasing and acceptable in your eyes. And may the words, the things that flow so easily out of our mouths, be a delight, O Lord, to you. But David goes a step further and also asks that the meditations of his heart, the things within his heart, also be pleasing to the Lord. Not only the sounds of his voice, but those things within his heart be pleasing to the Lord. The inner things of the heart and the outward things that are spoken. And I know personally how easy things can flow out of our mouths without even thinking. May my words and your words, brethren, be pleasing to the Lord. And may the deep things of our hearts be pleasing to the Lord also. Amen?
Amen.
And so, because the Lord has so clearly revealed himself in creation, and more clearly in his revealed word, the scriptures, we as humans have no excuse but to acknowledge him. We have no excuse yet to acknowledge him. Just as humans cannot escape the rays of the sun and its warmth, we cannot escape the reality that he alone is Lord.
Amen.
And it's our prayer that every one of our neighbors, those on our block, those in our cities, would proclaim,
yes,
O Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer.
Yes.
May every one of our family members proclaim, O Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. And may each one here today proclaim today, O Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. But before we close, we look at the ultimate and last revelation of God, which comes to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is what all the old revelation, all the old proclamation pointed to. But God's final word to us in and by comes to us by Jesus Christ. We don't need a word from any other man. We don't need a word from any other man or any other way. There's another way. No, we don't need that. We don't need to look any further. The revelation of Christ has been given to us in the New Testament. Please turn to Hebrews 1 as we close. Hebrews 1:1. It says, long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is much more excellent than theirs. The revelation, brethren, of God is complete. Yeah. The revelation of God is complete. First revealed in creation itself. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim His handiwork. Secondly, God's revelation of Himself is revealed by His Old Testament saints, which all pointed forward to Jesus. And third, in the fullness of time, the complete revelation is now in our hands, given to us by God Himself, Jesus Christ and His apostles. Brethren, may we declare, along with David, as we contemplate God's revelation, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to mankind in creation and in your word. Thank you, Lord, for opening up our eyes to behold your glory and saving us, Lord. We thank you so much. And we lift your name on high. Amen.